So our reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 1, what's often called the prologue to the Gospel. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, guide us and lead us as we hear your word today. Help us to hear you speaking to us. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Now, Wendy Pagden joined us in the summer as our curate in training here at Marks Tay and Aldham. And Wendy and I thought it'd be a bit of fun just to do this sermon as a bit of a question and answer session. So just to start off, Wendy, what's the thing that you look forward to most about Christmas, and maybe the thing that's most difficult as well? What would you say?
It's a hard question. I do love carol services. I love singing carols. But actually, I think the thing I love the most is spending time with my family. I love spending time with my extended family, and unfortunately, they're in South Africa at the moment, all of them. But I remember many Christmases where we've had this long table on one or the other, my sister's veranda, 18 of us around the table, children, adults, and the turkey roasting in the viba, which is a barbecue, and just having a glorious time together, popping into the swimming pool when we felt like having a little dip.
It is summer down there, isn't it?
Yeah. The difficult part. Do you know what, Ian? I think it's the opposite, isn't it? It's not being with people who you love. And I think there are a lot of people at Christmas time who are quite alone, quite lonely, or who miss people. We live in a world where we're dispersed. People are all over the world. But I think even more so, if you have somebody who you love who's in hospital, we had a couple of Christmases where one of our daughter was very ill, and having Christmas in a hospital ward is not a fun place to have it. Or if somebody's died in the family, and that happened to us a few years ago as well, my husband's mother died. Just the feeling that you are marking that anniversary and you're feeling the loss. So difficult family things, difficult emotional things. What about you, Ian?
Oh, for me, it's very basic. I've got a sweet tooth, so it's Christmas pudding, proper crunchy brandy butter, maybe a sticky dessert wine or something like that, maybe Christmas fruitcake. And my least important part is writing the thank you letters afterwards. So
I'm surprised that anybody does thank you letters anymore. Well,
unsurprising. Now, every curate has to be trained and assessed. So, Wendy, Christmas, Christ Mass, literally, is about the birth of Christ, of Jesus, our Saviour. So how would you explain to somebody what Christmas is all about and what is Christianity all about? Perhaps better still, what does it mean to you personally? Yeah.
It's a big question. So, Christmas, Jesus Christ. Hmm. I think, for me, it's not like a set of rules. It's not about the morals and the ethics, although that is part of Christianity, how we behave, what we do. Hmm. It's not even a philosophy or a way of life. Hmm. Although, again, Christianity is a way of life, isn't it? Hmm. But it's about the person of Jesus Christ. It's about relationship. It's about relationship with Jesus, but also relationship one with another. Hmm. So I think that's probably how I would answer that one, Ian.
Hmm. So tell me then, who is Jesus? How would you explain that to somebody?
He's a bit tricky, isn't he? God's son. Yeah. But I'm going to ask us to have a rethink about that prologue that we've just read in John's Gospel, which is just amazing. Written in Greek, I believe.
Yeah.
Did you Yeah.
I got a confession to make there. While I was in Vicar Factory and they were training us, we had to learn Greek. And in the exam, they gave us a bit of Greek. And I realised that it was this bit in John chapter 1, which I knew by heart from every Christmas time when we hear it. So I just wrote it out in English from memory with the extra footnotes because I could remember it, like I could see it. It's cheating. I think it's cheating, yeah. I think it is. Yeah. It's in Greek anyway.
It is in Greek. So this beautiful prologue, it's about metaphor, about imagery, isn't it? So it starts off where it says, in the beginning was the Word. And actually the Word, this is what we did in Solbar a couple of weeks ago, and the girls helped me with this. We were looking at the same passage, and one of them piped up and said, the Word, it's mentioned 4 times. Who is it? Light, it's mentioned 7 times. And of course, light and the Word are mentioned. Jesus isn't named until about verse 17. Hmm. But we know it's Jesus because of the way that it's talked about. John came to testify to the Word. So this first sort of image, metaphor of the Word is one thing that really strikes me. Hmm. I've got 5 classes of AS students at Sixth Form College. And this week we've been doing the Trinity. I have to say, the Trinity is a hard enough concept for anybody to get their heads around. But we looked at this verse, chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 1, and it starts off practically the same, like an echo of Genesis 1, verse 1. It starts off with, in the beginning, but instead of saying, in the beginning God created, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, separate to God, and the Word was God. The same as God. So before Jesus came as a baby, this kind of mixes with your head because it's also about time. Before Jesus came and was born and lived and died, he was. He existed. Right at the beginning there, he was part of what created the earth, the heavens and the earth and everything else. And he's going to be there forever. And that's something that kind of comes home to me. You can imagine, Ian, the first Jews when they heard that. They must have been thinking, wow, this is radical. Or, what? God is the one who created. How can we be saying Jesus was God? So this good news, the radical good news, which I think we miss actually, is about Jesus who became flesh and dwelt among us. I think you've got a story to tell, something to do with Jesus becoming flesh and babies and nativities and things.
I just heard this week about a school nativity play where they were quite brave, this school. They decided that they would borrow a newborn baby from one of the parents and put this newborn baby in their nativity scene in the crib. And the poor children playing Joseph and Mary weren't entirely sure how this was going to go. And when the baby started kicking off and crying, you know, and so on, Joseph and Mary stepped back a bit, you know, and they didn't know quite how to handle it. So a teacher had to rush in and whip the real baby away and put a plastic doll there instead, and calm and quiet were restored. But the person who was telling the story said, he said, I wonder if we actually tend to do that ourselves with Christmas, is that we take out the real Jesus who causes trouble and kicks off sometimes, and we actually put a slightly fake Jesus in there who's much more manageable but doesn't actually have much life in him. So which do we want in our Christmas? Do we want the real Jesus who causes a bit of upset, or do we want a plastic, safe version? Tough question.
Well, definitely one's easier to manage than the other, of course. But actually, the baby, the plastic baby, the lovely little baby in the crib, is also a symbol, isn't it, of the real thing. And actually, I want to look again a little bit more about symbol in 1 John. And think about the symbol of light. So Jesus coming as the light of the world. And I love the verse that says that when the light came, was not overcome by the darkness. It actually says the light shines in darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And I think about a dark room, a completely dark room. It only takes one little candlelight to make that room no longer dark. I don't know about you, but I have to say that looking back over 2016, it's not been such a great year, has it? There's been quite a lot of darkness. There's been quite a lot of trouble. And Aleppo, I mean, what tragedy, what devastation. Just thinking about actually more than thousands of people who are still left there in those shells of buildings. It kind of brings it home to me some of the experiences that I've had growing up in Zimbabwe and living in Zimbabwe. Mozambique as well, next to Zimbabwe. There was a civil war going on for a long time. And civil wars, wars in general, horrible things. But one of the places I visited was Beira, which was then the capital. And there were families living in these shells of rooms. No plumbing, no electricity. They would have to go down to the one still place they could get water and gather water for whatever it was they were using. How do you bring light into that situation? Always. Wherever you go, there are people in those desperate situations, and often people of faith, often Christians, who are coming alongside the people who are suffering and are bringing them hope, are bringing them encouragement, are bringing them food, are bringing them the possibility of building their lives. And I think that's what I think about Jesus when he comes. That he doesn't come just once at Christmas time, but he comes to all of us, and he brings us hope and healing. He can bring us light in our difficult situations. Especially since Jesus, when he was born, wasn't he born in a stable, in a poor situation, away from home? And didn't he have to flee as a refugee to Egypt? He did. So he and his family have been through those kind of really bad times. His light inspires us, doesn't it? But I've got a question for you. A little bit further on, okay, the really tricky questions. So it says that Jesus was born of God, and we can be born of God too. What does that mean, Ian? What does this phrase, born of God, or children of God, mean?
Tough one, yeah. I think for me it goes back to when I went to university for the first time, and I had to leave my home and my family, and I can remember waking up actually on the first morning and thinking, actually, who am I? You know, what's my identity, my personality? And trying to explore that, and actually going to talks, particularly Christian talks, you know, wondering if this was my faith or whether it was just something I'd inherited. And it was gradually explained to us about praying to God and asking Jesus to be my Lord and my Saviour. And I can remember doing that for 8 nights in a row, actually.
Really?
And I can remember one night particularly, just lying awake thanking God for everything that he'd done for me, and beginning to feel that joy and praise and delight that actually this was me. Yeah. This wasn't just something secondhand. And actually for me, the thing it really meant most was not being, I was an only child, and it meant for me that I would never be alone again. That wherever I was, in the dark or I don't know, in a scary place, but God would be with me from then on into eternity, which for me was a huge help and a comfort.
Wow. Mm. Isn't it amazing how God meets us in whatever situation we're in? I've got a daughter who's just gone off to university and one exploring it. And actually that is a time where you start thinking, change is the time where you start thinking, what is it that God means to me? Ian, later on in the passage, there's another part that I wanted you to maybe talk to us a bit more about. And it's about, it says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, these words, grace, we kind of know what truth means, but what does grace mean? How would you explain that?
They're both little words with a big meaning, aren't they? And grace, I think, it really means, in this passage, it means all God's generous resources and blessing and power overflowing to us. I once heard a bishop saying that we need both grace and truth. He said there are some Christians who are big on grace and on God's love and his mercy and his care and his kindness and all those lovely things, but when you actually ask them about Jesus, there isn't much content behind it. Whereas there are other Christians who major on truth and on getting it right and getting everything black and white and terribly clear, but they're sometimes not very loving and not very caring. Yeah. And he said we need both grace and truth. And he was quite a posh bishop. He liked a G&T in the evening. So he said we need to be G&T Christians. We all need a bit of G&T in our lives. And so be a G&T Christian, you know. So I remember that.
G&T, right. So, grace and truth. What does that mean to me? What does it mean to us? I think it means taking what Jesus has done as the Word, as the light, as grace and truth, and looking at our everyday situations, our work, our families, our friends, our relationships, our responsibilities through his eyes. So it's asking Jesus, the light of the world, to give us a chance to see what I call glimmers of glory in the situations that we're in, to see the things in a slightly different way through his eyes. So this Christmas, whether we are in darkness or we're in happy places, whether we're with our families or whether we're feeling slightly like you did when you went to university on our own, my prayer is that we ask Jesus, the light of the world, to inhabit us and our situations, that we might see glimmers of God's glory. C.S. Lewis, the famous author, said, "The Son of God became man to enable men to become sons of God." I like that. I'm going to change it slightly, though. The Son of God became a man, a person, to enable people to become children of God. So may we catch glimpses of God's glory this Christmas time in our situations. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Wendy. Let's just sort of tune into God, if we can, for a moment. You might like to just close your eyes or bow your head. And let's just be aware of what he might have been saying to us today through his word. Glimpses of glory. It's all about Jesus, the Word of God, the light of the world, the real Jesus. Lord, what are you saying to me today?